For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Why? You're not going to find any centers that you want down at the offensive line store this week. They're not out there.
I thought it was a Vineyard.
Yeah. There's a sale today, isn't there?
Yeah, you can get them. You can get them marked off. They're priced to go, but they're there for a reason. They've been returned, and most of them have probably been returned multiple times, you know.
There's not a Vineyard out there. You know, we're not going to be growing, you know, any 6'5", 330-pound tackles, at this point.
Oh, God. The connectivity of this radio station is one of its strengths. And when Jerry Angelo described the tackle vineyard, it forever lives in the mind of one Chris Tannehill when Brad Biggs eventually references the offensive line store.
Great find, Tanny. Well done.
The best part of that clip, though, is at the end when Jerry says, at this point. He was holding out hope that there might be some point they could grow an offensive lineman in a vineyard.
A tackle in a vineyard, not just a lineman. I mean, the lineman, I think, the offensive line store is in Indiana, I think, David. I mean, you knowing Indiana the way you do.
I actually think it's Wisconsin.
You think, oh,
Madison, Wisconsin.
That's probably true. How about Nebraska going back to the Cornhusker teams of my youth?
Way back, maybe. Yeah.
The Dean Steinkuhler days.
There were other stores around the whole offensive line store, which helped that offensive line store stay stocked.
The steroid store was also there.
We didn't go into the GNC there, no.
He's an Indiana boy.
Thank you, Pat.
Yes, he is. So, but the tackle vineyard is in Northern California.
Okay.
Because that's where vineyards are. So it's a beautiful vineyard overlooking the Pacific. And it's striking when you see Orlando Pace hanging off of a tree.
Yeah,
like
Jerry eventually found some of those and picked some of those. And he wasn't bad at finding offensive linemen overall. He struggled finding the quarterback vineyard.
He did.
He never could quite grow one. So that's why he eventually had to go.
So look, we love Biggs Time. I listen every morning, no matter when, no matter what. I use the Odyssey app and I hit a button and I make sure that wherever I am, as soon as I'm free, if I missed it live, I go back and I catch it. It is essential conversation. If I'm awake in the 6 o'clock hour, I'm listening to the Pick Six. I'm hanging out with you guys. And then we were discussing today, your version of the pre-show meeting, which we do every day at 1 o'clock, is the 5:30 segment.
Pretty much. That's kind of like a meeting on the fly, on the air. We get here early, so it's not like we can sit around and eat pizza and talk about what we want to talk about. So it's a little bit... difficult.
Is that a shot at what we did today?
Well, you kind of did that, right?
Yeah,
there was pizza.
Sorry for eating lunch, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Exactly, though.
Our bad.
Granola boy Hall over here can't have cheese. It's not his birthday. He can't have something that's not granola.
Did he pull the cheese off the pizza?
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, that's
I'm just
your
saying
big one.
That we're not sitting around breaking bread with each other because we have to get here.
Do you like each other?
Yeah, I thought it was because they didn't like each other. Spot on, Shane. Spot on.
They said there would be no tough questions. We get here. We talk about stuff. Yeah. We get on the air at 5:30, and you never quite know where we're going to head. But that's okay.
That's the fun of it. Yeah, no, it is great fun. But you've had themes running through the show this week, much as we have had themes running through this show, Spiegel & Company, here on 670 The Score in the afternoon. By the way, me and Pat Manley on Monday after the Bears game on Sunday night.
Love Pat.
Oh, I love
Does
Pat,
a terrific
too.
Job.
That's going to be super fun. But I didn't hear the answer to this, because you've been kicking around a couple things we want to touch on. One is, who's more important, or who would be worse to lose, Montez Sweat or Caleb Williams? Right, that's been a theme during the course of the week.
I introduced that idea before the opener.
That's right, it was last week.
Yeah, but that conversation kind of it's an evergreen topic. And I made the argument that while they're both immensely important to this season, you take away Caleb Williams and my outlook for this year would change. You take away Montez Sweat, it would change, but not as dramatically if you take away the starting quarterback.
And you could argue the way the roster is constructed and the way the NFL is constructed, could you win more games with Tyson Bagent instead of Caleb Williams as opposed to, say, Austin Booker instead of Montez Sweat?
Ask the Dolphins what they think. Ask the Packers what they think. Dude. Have them weigh in.
Yeah.
Okay. Them without the starting quarterback, much different equation than if you have Jordan Love playing for the Packers and Tua for the Dolphins.
To your point, my brother is a diehard Dolphin fan. My brother, and last night he's texting me, and just despondent. And this morning, him and his son, who's a Saints fan, and me with the Bears perspective, we're talking, and he's like, "Who's your backup? Can I have your backup? Who's on your practice squad?" I told him he can't have Tyson Bagent. That's too valuable a number two in my mind. He can't give that guy up.
I think that we value Tyson Bagent in Chicago because of what he did going 2-2 as a starter last year. I think he has similar respect around the league, but I don't think that those two things are proven invalid by saying this. Without Caleb Williams, this season's down the drain. Okay? You hate to talk in these terms, but we just in the first week have seen two quarterbacks go down indefinitely. We don't know if Tua's coming back. When is Jordan Love coming back? I think it's gamesmanship that Matt LaFleur is talking about. It could be Sunday against the Colts. That'd be unrealistic. And though when any NFL team, most NFL teams, if you take away the starting quarterback, it changes the complexion of your entire season. So indispensability, I think it starts with Caleb Williams. It goes to Montez Sweat. Mm-hmm. And this is where we were this morning. The third most indispensable Bear, according to Brad Biggs, surprised me.
Yes.
I think it surprised you.
I don't even know who it is yet.
Okay.
I'm going to hear it today because I didn't get all the way through Biggs time this morning. Look at that. I told you I'd never miss it. Now I missed it. Or was it today?
Shame on you.
It was today.
Brad Biggs
I'm
talks
exposed.
Football with you.
All right. Yeah, well, here it is. Let's hear this.
I was having this conversation with our friend Jeff Joniak the other day. Mm. If you said name the top three players on the roster the Bears can't afford to lose, you're going to get all sorts of different answers. Mm-hmm. I'm sure every reply is going to include the quarterback, Caleb Williams,
yes,
and Montez Sweat,
yes,
in some order. I believe you can make a legitimate case that the third guy on that list is Andrew Billings.
Whoa.
And that's with full and total respect for the player that Jalen Johnson has become.
Going.
That's for total respect for DJ Moore and what he's done. I just think Billings, what he does and what they have behind him and around him would make him third. And if you presented a list to me and he wasn't third, no problem. Because we're going to agree to disagree on a lot of topics. But if Billings isn't in your top five, you've made a mistake.
It's good stuff from Brad Biggs. I understand the thought process of having Big Bill up there at number three. My first thought when you brought up the topic was Jalen Johnson. That was certainly my first thought.
Well, I think Jalen Johnson is the answer to a different question if you talk about who is the best at their position, at their respective position, or who is your most likely to be named All-Pro. Jalen Johnson is either 1, 2, or 3. Indispensability means you have a depth problem behind this person or they play a role that's underappreciated. I see where Brad is coming from. You know, if I wanted to quibble with Brad, and sometimes I like to quibble with Brad, I would say DJ Moore is the MVP of the passing game. And I think without him, you have a different passing game. So I might put him third. I also might think that Darnell Wright, to me, as a right tackle anchor, even though he is young, I don't know that he has an adequate replacement that makes you feel good about that right side of the line. Without Andrew Billings, yeah, you're a different defense, but you have more talent overall on that side of the ball, whereas if you take Darnell Wright off your offensive line, I think it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt at this point that your best offensive lineman is a second-year rookie at right tackle.
No doubt.
Right? And that's a crazy it's a crazy truth to have exist, perhaps.
Well, it's not so bad, though, because he is a top 10 draft pick.
Yeah.
And those guys need to, in today's NFL, progress as quickly as the quarterbacks do. You're going to be thrust into action. You can't afford to not win in that window, because mm-hmm. once they get to the point where you can pay them, they're going to break the bank and kill your cap.
Before we, I do want to talk some offensive line and have some questions for you and some conversation I want to have in that regard. By the way, Mark Grody coming up in about 10, 15 minutes or so right here on The Score with tape on a wide receiver and from a wide receiver. That'll be in about 10 minutes, as I say. Andrew Billings, his utility was never more on display than week number one. And I'm sure that's in Brad's mind. There was at least one snap where he was a defensive end.
Yes.
Andrew Billings, and he actually achieved quarterback pursuit.
He mentioned that. They've been moving him around a little bit. It's smart by Matt Eberflus. Matt Eberflus has done some things, and maybe it's because of Eric Washington as well. You don't want to overlook him.
I would credit Eric Washington. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm thinking Eric Washington, who's given a lot of freedom because he was, he was a high-ranking coach in Buffalo and came for this job to have some freedom. Eberflus calling plays, but Washington is the noted defensive line teacher, using Billings at three techniques sometimes and just varying it. And the way that Washington talked about it yesterday, I thought was with quite a big amount of authority.
It's a really good point. Eric Washington and this defensive staff is in sync. They each coach position groups that you could make the argument is it makes a difference, or the engine of the defense, whether it's the linebackers, whether it's your front four with Montez Sweat and an emerging Daryl Taylor, and even Austin Booker, who only played six snaps but is on the way.
Yeah.
But your secondary is the strength of this team. John Hoke coaches that group, and I think you could make that argument as well. Whatever the case, when you have this much credit, when you have this much success, nobody cares who gets the credit. But Andrew Billings has moved around. I think the argument is stronger to make this week because of the type of success he had in the second half stopping the run. But I did point out to Brad, or I think we talked about it maybe after he was off, the Titans ran the ball however they wanted to in the first quarter.
Oh, and how about the Texans this past week in terms of running the ball?
Well, they did.
Joe Mixon and the Texans were dominant.
He's a problem.
Oh, dominant. In the run game. So you should be very fearful of that if you're the Bears. Big task for T.J. Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds, among others.
That's the number one priority for this defense. You talk about you need the takeaways and certainly the big play guys. I talked about the wide receivers and how difficult it is to stop them even with your cornerbacks. We can talk about C.J. Stroud all day long,
yeah.
But you have to earn the right to rush the passer. And the only way you do that is by stopping the run. When you have Joe Mixon, who had 30 carries in week one, it tells you this is a different Texans offense. This isn't just C.J. Stroud, piling up Arena Football League numbers. This is an offense with Bobby Slowick Jr. that understands the best way to help your star quarterback is to give him a running game. That component makes this team a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, Joe Mixon, 30 carries for a $159. Damian Pierce had 3 carries for 16. Stephon Diggs ran it once. Tank Dell ran it a couple of times. So they are determined, as Bobby Slowick Jr., to lead with the run game, or at least give that component to keep things open for C.J. Stroud and have that delightful balance. On that defensive line, by the way, struck by the fact that they had 10 quarterback hits and none of them were by Montez Sweat.
I was too, and that's where Grody and I kind of get into it, I think. It was like I was just kidding and not asking a pointed question, but I think if Montez Sweat, you expect him to have more of an impact or be more noticeable on any given Sunday, so to speak, because he was on every given Sunday last season. Since he came to the Bears, he made an immediate impact,
mm-hmm.
and there were very seldom weeks after his games where you were like, where's he? What did he play? He is the Bears' best defensive lineman. He is their most impactful pass rusher. Maybe the attention paid him created the opportunities for Daryl Taylor.
There we go.
But if that's the case, uh-huh. I think in a game like this that – you step up in class. They have a very good set of tackles offensively for the Texans.
Whew.
You still would like to see Montez Sweat be the guy that makes the biggest impact.
The way that Montez Sweat talked about Laremy Tunsil was glowing.
It was. As it should be.
As it should be. But I think you touched on it there. Like, Montez Sweat as a You know, I always think of this. I think I first heard it in regards to Calvin Johnson. They called Calvin Johnson a coverage dictator on the like inside the red zone for the Lions at the time. Like, you'd put Johnson out there and immediately either their best corner or a corner and a safety to double team would go out there, and then you could do other things. I think when you've got a guy like Montez Sweat, he is a coverage dictator for the opposing offense.
No doubt
line.
About it. That's a good way to put it. I also think that when I say what I'm saying, I'm not criticizing Montez Sweat, but I'm also remembering, did you watch the game last night? Buffalo dominated the Dolphins.
Yes.
Even before Tua went out, this was a game that was lopsided. Part of the reason why is because everybody on the Dolphins' offensive line, everybody in the Dolphins' offensive staff room and on the roster in Miami-Dade County, okay? Yeah. Everybody in the building knows that Von Miller was the guy that could wreck the game plan for the Dolphins. You know what they did? They couldn't stop him. He did it anyway, and they tried. That's what you want Montez Sweat to be to the Bears' pass rush.
I hear you.
The guy that you can't stop, even when you devote all your resources to try.
Can we... as a show, as a four-pack, I wonder if we are in agreement here. The Dolphins were terrible, and the story is Tua. But that color of their jersey and the hoodie that Mike McDaniel was wearing is absolutely beautiful.
Loved it.
Isn't it gorgeous?
I loved it.
Yeah, can we just admit as a four-pack here, is anybody not with me on the sheer beauty of that Dolphins aqua?
It's the best uniform in football.
And, you know, I think the Chargers would like a word.
Not with me.
Okay.
They're not getting a word
with
me.
I think the Chargers might like a word.
They got in touch through Ryan Port. They want a word with Tank.
If you like purple, the Vikings would also like to be heard.
I don't.
From saying.
No, it's a bad uniform.
Can't hold a candle.
But the point is well taken. I'm all in on aqua.
It's beautiful.
It is.
And that's the building across the street that he's talking about.
You heard
about.
It here first. David Hall, in on aqua.
Okay.
Did you say something for us today? That's a take.
What, my take on the color?
His take on aqua.
Yeah.
He's all in
he's
on
all
aqua.
My take on
he
orange?
Was only halfway in on aqua this morning. Yeah, he waited for us.
You want my take on orange? Did you hear that?
No, that's Sunday night. We get full on orange jersey and
you're
orange
You're not Syracuse. You're not Clemson. You're not a pumpkin. You're not a dreamsicle. Put the navy blue back on.
Oh, God.
What do you think about the Bears all whites? The white top, white
it's the
pants.
Ice cream man uniform.
They're not slimming.
They're not the good humor man.
Yeah.
You know?
I like the Cardinals all black. That's good.
I like the Cardinals all black.
I like that.
I like the Cardinals all black. I just thought that Dolphins aqua just jumped off my screen, no matter which one I was watching the Amazon broadcast on.
Makes Kyler Murray look like a little ant.
The Dolphins aqua is not on that team.
No, the all black.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
So but the worst uniforms of week one.
Your own conversation.
I was.
The Giants.
I was. Just thinking to myself.
You're just picking up where you left off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like that.
Mike Francesa called those Giants ones dopey.
The dopey
those
ones?
Dopey, dopey uniforms.
Yeah. You have to win if you're going to wear those jerseys. You can't lose like they
you
lost.
You can't predetermine that,
that's
though.
Even more shameful.
The jersey choice comes before the outcome of the game, David.
Counterpoint, you chose to lose by wearing those jerseys.
That's it.
Yeah.
You knew that you were going to be humiliated the minute you pulled those that jersey over your shoulder pads. This is going to be a long day because I look like a fool.
Those jerseys look like the merch of the losing team in the championship that we send over to, like, Africa.
Oh, God.
They should have sent those over there.
Oh, man.
Arizona Diamondbacks World Series Champions 2023.
That's so sad. That's so sad. Somebody did a story on that one time. Like, all the teams that the Patriots beat, teams that Brady beat, all that opposition, like, they were clothing all sorts of people across the land.
I wish I had a 1985 Patriots World Series or Super Bowl champion T-shirt.
Yeah, well,
back in the day,
we can get you one.
No, I
Let
don't
me
want
see
one.
If I can log
but
on.
The aqua, that's a very
eBay.
Good observation.
Oh my
that's
God, Grabber's still logged on.
Hey, before we break,
yes, sir.
Who would your third player be? The way that Biggs answered it with Andrew Billings. Who would you put in that spot?
You know, all right, so if it's Caleb and it's Montez.
Yeah, one or two, either way.
Boy, it's a tricky one. I don't think I can say Jalen because I like Tyreek Stevenson so much. And
see, because
there's a lot of depth.
The depth there. They have three really good corners.
I totally agree. And I actually think Terrell Smith looks like he might be able to be a player.
He could start in spurts if you needed him.
I think so. So I think I'd end up saying Darnell Wright because of the importance of the position.
I like that answer.
Yeah, well, of course you do. It's yours. He's David Haw. I'm Matt Spiegel. It's Spiegel & Company. Mark Grody gets to argue back at David Haw next on the screen.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Matt Spiegel on 670 The Score.
It is Spiegel and Company. Today and company is David Haw, a delightful man working a double. The double shift on 670 The Score. We're going to give them all tips. All the tips that we get on this shift, we're going to give to you, which I think is only fair and only just. And our guy, Mark Grody, joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Groats, what's up, man? It's Friday afternoon. Totally different smoke this time with David Haw.
Oh, yeah, no, I got you, man. Hey, I've always said it, David Haw is the khaki pants of the Score. He can fit in anywhere. You put him in the morning, the midday, the afternoon, the evening. This guy probably do an overnight.
See, you called me khaki pants because I called you that, and you were a little offended by that.
Well, let me be clear on that. I'm flattered by the concept. I just don't like the connotation of khaki pants.
I just think it goes with everything. It does.
There's no doubt about it, but I just think of khaki pants as just very average. It's a very average article of clothing, khaki pants.
Even if they're Flag and Anthem khaki pants.
Well, Flag and Anthem, that's a grade up. Shout out. I could use the winter line.
Tell us about the injury report, Groats. That's the lead, I think, today, don't you?
For 2 days in a row, here is the deal. Keenan Allen did not practice. He is a game-time decision with that heel injury. We'll hear from Matt Eberflus in just a little bit on Keenan Allen, how this all happened, how we got to the point that we have arrived with Keenan Allen. But he didn't practice. Possibly he could still play. Roma Dunze, slightly different. He did practice today in a limited capacity. He also, because of the knee injury, he also is a game-time decision. And just a short while ago, we stood around our locker talking to the Bears' highly drafted first-round rookie, Roma Dunze, about the knee injury.
Yeah, limited work today. Felt good. Trying to get back to – you know, being myself out there, and, you know, that's the only product I want to put out on the field. So today was a little bit of a test of that, and, you know, felt good. So we'll see what happens moving forward.
I know that obviously you're going to listen to the doctors, but do you feel like you could play a full football game right now?
I don't know. You know, I think, you know, today was my kind of first initial test to really see, you know, answer that question. And I think, you know, tomorrow will be a good measure of, you know, recovery and how my knee feels in that moment. So that'll be, you know, the telling sign. But, you know, I want to be out there on that field, you know, any way possible. So I'm going to try and make that happen.
What is your role in making sure that you're honest with them and that they kind of know exactly what you're for?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, especially with a knee injury, like, it's, you know, precautionary, you know, because, you know, that's things that take people, you know, a long time to heal and, you know, sometimes are season ending or career ending in certain, you know, fashion. So, you know, learning, you know, knowing it was a knee injury, just want to take those precautions and, you know, knowing what I've heard from the doctors and, you know, hearing, you know, what they're saying on the structure of it, gave me the confidence to go out there today and, you know, practice. I think going forward, it will be a continued conversation, you know, especially, you know, like you said, with new coaches, new training staff and them learning me learning them. And but I think first and foremost on my head is just making sure I'm healthy, make sure I'm good. And when I'm able to do that, I'm ready to go.
What was Sunday night and Monday?
That something more can happen.
No, that's definitely not my concern. I think that was like my first initial question. You know, if I was at any risk for that to happen, and you know, talking to the doctors and the opinions that I've gotten, that's not their opinion of it. You know, of course, there's some soreness and some pain in there with a sprain, that it is, but. No, if there was any risk of anything further, then I wouldn't be out there.
Did you feel like yourself out there today when you were testing it?
I felt pretty solid. You know, of course, I was being a little precautionary, just because, again, knee injury. But I felt good. I really did. So just getting back into the flow of things, catching up to speed with Caleb and the offense, and yeah.
Having never dealt with a knee injury, how frustrating is it that it happens in your first game?
No, I never have. Never have. You know, knock on wood. Oh, y'all better knock on wood before y'all get up out of here. I've never dealt with it. So, you know, it's something that, you know, is a little bit of a scare, you know what I mean, especially when it comes to the knee. I've had many teammates that have dealt with those injuries, and they always suck. So, you know, for me, it was just first and foremost making sure I was all good structural-wise, make sure I'm not putting myself at risk for further injury. And after that, you know, I'm doing whatever I can to get back on that field.
Cool, thank you.
Thanks,
that's a great chunk of tape and a good follow-up with you about his history and lack thereof with knee injuries. I was Googling while he was speaking, and I see a rib injury at Washington, but nothing like a knee.
Not only a rib injury, a punctured lung.
Punctured lung.
He played the next week.
Yes. So,
Brody, that's crazy.
And that is amazing in terms of toughness, but in terms of your knee, when you're a high-performance athlete with running and cutting, not knowing what something feels like has to scare the hell out of you, Mark.
Yeah, it does, but it sounds like what I'm inferring and from the people that I'm talking to, that it, and you heard it right there too, that they don't think it would get worse with him going out there, or if they think that he's going to be held back. So what I think and the way I understand it is really going to come down to Roma Dunze and a pain tolerance thing. Now, like I said, I mean, there's always a chance that the doctor's going to be like, okay, there's tomorrow he wakes up and structurally we can't go. But I really think this comes down to what he can handle. And as Haw said, if he can handle a punctured lung and the pain that probably comes with that, I think that he'd be able to handle this as well. So if everything they're saying, if they're being completely straight with us, I actually feel good. I actually feel good about Roma Dunze's chances of playing.
I don't feel good about him playing. I think you're right about the chances. I fear that they are looking at this the way they would treat a typical NFL player. This is your first-round draft pick, ninth overall, second game of his career. There's no rush to greatness. You need to take your time. If there's even a chance of him not being 100%, I think that you sit him. And I think you err on the side of caution.
So here's the thing, though, and the reason I'm so interested in his lack of familiarity with a knee injury, it strikes me a little bit like a pitcher who all of a sudden has elbow pain and freaks out, and then they do the test, and they're like, no, this is normal, you're all good. And then that first time you have that elbow pain, and you learn that you're all good, no, that's just life, young fella. That's what it is. And sometimes they don't even miss a start. Remember Justin Steele last year? And we were all terrified and didn't, you know? So it strikes me that this could be him freaking out and he's never had the experience like you asked about Groats, and maybe he's just totally fine.
Yeah, and I'll bring you guys one more thing. Matt Eberflus was asked something similar to the point that David was bringing up about, you know, this is your first round. He's a rookie, and, you know, do you want to take the chance? And Matt said, you know, that he's no different than anybody else, that because he's young, he's a rookie, he's a first rounder, the promise of, he basically, and again, we don't know if Matt Eberflus is being truthful about it, but he did say, no, I don't look at this differently because he is a rookie, because he was the number nine overall pick. So it's going to be interesting.
That's when your general manager saves the head coach from himself. That's when the front office has got to step in, though. You're probably exactly right, Grody. I think that they look at everyone the same way. This isn't the same decision for a left guard who is a veteran, or Ryan Bates, or whoever it is. This is your number nine overall pick, the future you want to grow with your franchise quarterback. He is different, Matt Eberflus. I'm sorry. I like Flusie, but he's wrong here.
Well, the good thing is, and to that end, no, this is not Matt Eberflus's decision. Matt Eberflus will not override the doctors. He will not have the opportunity to override Ryan Poles or Kevin Warren. So, Matt, you know, we know coaches in the NFL can be a little fibby when they get up there. So, I mean, he didn't necessarily seem like he was being non-truthful or fibby or lie-y, but that's what he said.
I like fibby. Kyle Shanahan has entered the chat. That whole business with Christian McCaffrey last week, with Jordan Mason admitting in postgame he knew about it on Friday, and then like 20 minutes later, the beat writers saying, this is why I don't like talking to the media, and then saying, no, I don't know when I heard it. Might have been, you know, like, it's like, these guys can get themselves in a lot of trouble if they're not careful. I have broader roster questions I want to ask, but why don't we first hear about the other injured wide receiver?
Yeah. I mean, speaking of getting yourself in trouble, I mean, like when you're trying to figure out what happened, I mean, I think there was a good question to find out, like, okay, Keenan Allen's got this heel injury, and one that it looked like he was practicing on. He was getting better and better and thought that he was going to be fine. What happened, Matt Eberflus, here with Keenan Allen?
I mean, it was just something that happened in training camp with the heel. Yeah, and that was really it. So it's been, you know, progressing. You know, and then it took a step back, and then, you know, we just want to give it some rest. And that's really what the idea this week was, just to rest, you know, and let it heal and let it feel good so we're able to move and cut and do the things he does.
So did it get re-aggravated or inflamed or injured in the game, or did you – because he practiced last week.
Yeah, and then... it's both. Both. So, and again, we'll see it. I just rely on the medical staff to do what's best for Keenan, and then we decide he decides with the medical staff, you know, when he can go, if he can go.
Matt, for a veteran player like Keenan, yeah. I know he's had this injury before. Do veteran players have a little bit longer of a leash when it comes to specific things to tell you about how they feel versus, because I know you're going to try to protect the player, but in his case, since he's already played through this, would that help his case having not practiced this week to play?
I believe that's true. I also believe that with an experienced player, he's able and has played so many games that you're able to input him into the game plan a lot easier way than it would be, say, a rookie. You know, so I believe it's both.
So it's interesting because Keenan Allen, as a vet, he cannot practice, and then he could wake up on Sunday morning and say, "Yeah, man, I'm good to go." And then he could go. Am I the only one connecting these dots, Mark Grody? When you asked Keenan Allen last week about his heel, and he gave you some form of, well, it is what it is, that kind of vibe. And then you asked him about free agency, and he said, well, I'm not going to get 15 mil. Like, there was a tone there. Like, Keenan knows this is a nagging problem. It took 4 games from him last year. It cropped up again in training camp, and here it is lingering into the second week of the season.
Because, I mean, one of the things, too, is that just studying his body language, the posture when he was up there when I asked the question. And yeah, I mean, what I said, are you healthy, feeling all right? He goes, just kind of gave me that. I don't know, man. You know, day, you know, every day is different. And he wasn't his usual thorough, jubilant, interesting, introspective self up at the podium. So that was the point at which I was like, this doesn't feel good.
Yep.
And here we are. And it still doesn't feel good. But I mean, the point is spot on. Yeah, Keenan Allen is capable of not practicing during the week and still knowing his assignments. I guess that would be a little bit more difficult for Rome Odunze, but he was out there today.
So, Grody, we good? We have a little tiff this morning.
Man. Actually, I was thinking about that today because I actually sent you a text right after, and I said that was fun, and then I got ghosted. So I'm like, ooh, maybe this was the time where I really upset
you. A lot going on today. I forgot to text you back. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you just forgot.
I'm sorry, Mark.
Okay.
Fill us in. It was about Montez Sweat and importance? Is that what it was?
Yeah, Hall went after Sweat hard.
But either way, we've all been a part of this thing, no matter what it was about. We've all been a part of this thing where, like, it gets a little feisty, and you're like, all right, that was fun. And then the text that Grody sends is loving. It's good teammateship.
Sometimes I'm really responsive in the middle of a show, but sometimes I just kind of get a little bit focused, and I'm sorry, Mark.
No, okay. No, that's all right. I feel better. You know, we're all a little bit insecure. I was like, man, I mean, I know I demolished you, but I was like, I hope he's not mad about this.
Whoa.
It was demolition.
No, yeah. No, actually, it was a good conversation. And Hall brought up the fact, you know, Montez Sweat in the stat sheet, he really didn't show up out there. But I love game. Like, what a game. Like, to not have Montez Sweat play great and to have the defense, relatively speaking, dominate the game and have all these other guys step up and make plays that weren't making play that weren't even here last year, like a Daryl Taylor, my guy DeMarcus Walker making play after play, Jalen Johnson. I mean, all these guys making plays without Montez Sweat having to step up. Be nice though to see more from Montez Sweat this Sunday night when they go up against a really, really
I hear you.
Offense.
Now you're talking, Grody.
Oh, now
you're
see, now we're back on the same page. Oh. We just became friends again.
Yes,
that's lovely. All right, so tell us how you think the roster plays out now with Ryan Bates out for this game and the fullback out as well.
Yeah, Blassen game is out, so I guess offensive line. I mean, the big thing was, you know, Nate Davis. I asked straight up. Matt Eberflus, is Nate Davis your starter at right guard? And he said yes, with no other explanation. You gave me a straight yes to that. And then I think it was Courtney, who followed up and said there's no rotation. Nope, no rotation. Nate Davis is your starting guard. Now, if things do go badly in the game where they want to bench him for some reason, then Matt Pryor would be the guy that would come into the game probably. But as of right now, they are being honest with us and saying that there will not be a rotation. Coleman Shelton, obviously, again, will continue to be your center. So that's what it is for the offensive line.
That's a problem. I mean, that's going to be a potential problem all season long until they come together. Coleman Shelton's got to be better, and Ryan Bates has got to get healthy to get the offensive line they thought they were putting together in the offseason.
Yeah, and we'll see when they are all healthy, you know, do they stay? I guess this would be a big game for Coleman Shelton. I'm not going to crush the guy after one game. I mean, if we're going to have that perspective of one game, let's see what Coleman Shelton can do again here. But is it still in the back of the Bears' minds that when everybody's healthy, is Ryan Bates the center? Is Ryan Bates, is he the right guard? My hunch is that, yeah, they do want Ryan Bates to be the right guard. I just think, unless like Nate Davis goes out there and dominates and he is terrific, but it almost feels like last call going on for Nate Davis right now, and then ultimately they want Ryan Bates in there, but we'll see.
Quickly, Grody, before we let you go.
Yeah, man.
What were players saying, if anything, about the Tua injury, his concussion, and any advice about his future?
You know, bad job by us, Haw. Those questions were none of the players that we spoke to were asked about that, okay. Nor the head coach, Matt Eberflus. So I'm sorry that we as a collective.
Now it's a little awkward again.
Yeah, now it's a little awkward. What have I told you about embarrassing
I'm
me
sorry,
on the radio,
Mark.
Haw? What have I told you
I'm
about
I'm going to text you. Nice
just
job.
It became personal.
It's extremely personal between
no,
these
I mean,
two.
And sorry, in all man. Honesty, if I may make excuses for us out here, the locker room. Haw, you should know this.
I know
on Fridays,
this.
It's just about cleaned out. You're lucky to get guys. Yeah. The coach speaks, but I guess shame on us for not asking about Tua. Maybe some people ask that.
Hilariously, the top two sports topics that are trending on my Twitter here are Tua Tagovailoa and Nate Davis. So you covered one of them at least, Groats. Any nuggets that we should know after today?
Yeah, Zach Pickens is going to be healthy, good to go in this game. Also, Karan Amagaji, talked to him a little bit by his locker today. He was all excited about that.
Oh, really?
His family's going to be there. Yeah, so I guess I should have mentioned him as a possibility as well.
Yes,
I mean, we
haven't had a chance to see what they think of him in terms of a priority. We may very well get to see him in a rotation, I would suspect. It's possible.
Maybe. I don't think this week. I don't know if he has been healthy enough and full enough in practice to just throw him out there. But no, can I? Hey, if he's one of those, if one of the 53 men out there, absolutely. I mean, be ready, stand by. I don't know that would be ideal going into this game, but it's good. And, you know, this is a guy that they think highly of and should be down the road, maybe even a starter for the Bears.
All right. Thank you, Mark Grody. You're the best.
Thanks, Groats.
Later. All right. Bye, David. Love you. Bye.
You too.
Oh, I feel the love. Olin Krutz, speaking of love, warm and fuzzy and all Olin-y at the top of the hour on The Score. Dan Wiederer later on. And we will have a moment for sure at some point for a little inside the clubhouse hit and run crossover. But let's get back to Tua and the news of the day in the NFL. We'll do that next on The Score.
You can't help but feel for him. He is a great football player, but he's an even greater human being. He's one of the best humans on the planet. You know, I got a lot of love for him, and I'm just praying for him and his family and hoping everything's okay. But yeah, it's tough, man. This game of football that we play, it's got its highs and it's got its lows, and that's definitely one of the lows.
That is Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills quarterback, on Tua Tagovailoa. Olin Krutz in a couple of minutes. David Haw, Antonio Pierce, head coach of the Raiders. Dez Bryant, former wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. Those are among the myriad former NFLers, or NFLers currently, who are suggesting that Tua Tagovailoa retire or be forced to retire.
Be a long list of players are going to be giving the same advice. There's going to be a long list of coaches and football people who will be saying the same thing. Ultimately, nobody can measure what football might mean to Tua Tagovailoa. If it's his decision. It's his family's decision. There are valid, legitimate reasons why he should just walk away right now. Anybody that watched that last night, and it was scary to see, understands that. But I think it's ultimately up to him. It's a very emotional time right now. A lot of people are going to have these hot takes, a lot of reactions to it. It's understandable. Give it some time. See how bad it is. And I think you have to respect his decision either way. And I'm only saying that, Matt, because I anticipate that he's going to be wanting to return.
Yeah, so do I. Because
Mike McDaniels also said that, you know, don't talk about retirement. It's not appropriate right now.
Yeah.
Or he implied that.
Yeah. I mean, look, the science is clear in terms of the subconcussive hits. It's not necessarily clear in terms of specifically concussions, in terms of long-term effects, frankly.
He's had three diagnosed concussions.
Maybe there was a fourth. Our colleague Paps pointed out one that was added in that was not diagnosed.
It's hard to measure the cumulative effect of those concussions because it gets considerably worse with each one.
Mm-hmm.
That's dangerous. That's your brain. And I understand Chris Nowinski was eloquent on The Score earlier today. You're going to have people that are passionate about what they believe. Ultimately, though, it is up to him, and you have to respect how much he may want to stay in the game that he loves and that has made him somebody worthy of generational wealth. I would probably walk away, but I'm not him.
Yeah, it's interesting. One sidelight on the business front, his contract has no concussion clauses, no exceptions, no waivers. So it would be a very interesting situation in that regard, too.
Also, if he's medically forced into retirement, he has a right to collect $124 million. But if he's cleared medically and he opts to retire, he forgoes that money.
Interesting. Olin Krutz is next on The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.